Liberty University Broadcast Studio. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right, folks, welcome to the second hour of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us, coast to coast, border to porous border. And ladies and gentlemen, we've got a lot going on this hour of the program. Some great guests coming your way. But first, I want to reset something that happened in the final moments of the last hour of the program. So we've been talking about these attacks on Trump supporters and the lack of media attention. And why is it that the mainstream media and the Democrats are not out there condemning these attacks? Why is it that these leftist loons are targeting people who wear MAGA hats or maybe you have a Trump bumper sticker on your car? Why is that? So we had Tracy, who was calling us from North Carolina, and she was telling us the story about her son who is in college at a Christian school. Now, there is a school called Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, and it is run by the Southern Baptist Convention, which is a very conservative denomination. I'm a Southern Baptist, so I kind of know something about that. So I asked Tracy to hold on because I wanted some time for her to tell the story here. And Tracy, I don't want us to get into the weeds. There are a lot of things that you were mentioning about critical race theory, and that's let's focus on what happened to your son here. So first of all, Tracy, thank you for holding on through the break. I want you to tell us about your son. So he's in the college part, not the seminary part, but the college part. Is that right?
Yes. And my daughter.
Oh, and your daughter, too. All right. So your son is, he has the Make America Great Again ball cap on. Tell us what happened.
Well, he is in leadership and does get his scholarship through the school. And he was approached by someone who is above him, is in charge of them, is a full-time person in the school, and asked why wouldn't he take that off? Why would he ever put that on? Had he ever thought about how that would offend someone else there who was not of his race?
And so I take it your son's white?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. The person who came up, was this was a full-time staff person at the school?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So how did your son respond to that?
Well, he said he didn't view people that way and that he loved everybody. And no matter what our background, we all come to Jesus the same way. And that his favorite thing that he was looking forward to is in coming to that school was being able to critically think and talk with people he may disagree with on certain issues without having backlash. And he was so shocked that there is a one-track way of thinking, and if you don't think that way, they will make it hard on you. They will ostracize you. The student that called in December an open letter to all faculty and staff, they have just labeled him as, you know, a nerd and loony. He called for the president's resignation.
Who called for the president's resignation of the school?
Another student.
Oh, I
and
see.
He is a Hunt Scholar, which Johnny Hunt funds, the Hunt Scholarship, I'm pretty sure, or maybe it's just named after him. But these kids are brilliant. They get their master's from the seminary and their undergrad in 5 years because they work hard, and you can only get that if you're really smart. And this Hunt Scholar sent the letter calling for his resignation, and that student is... he's not taken seriously at all.
So your son, so when did this encounter happen? When did this confrontation happen?
Last fall, I believe, my son was in a leadership training, and he was told that they could get ready, that the curriculum was going to change because of the history, the quote, history of our country. And this was said to him by the Kingdom Diversity leadership team that they emphasize there. So they're actually talking about changing the curriculum now to possibly, all we can figure, is not acknowledge anyone in the past in the Southern Baptist life who has said anything or done anything questionable, even in the 1800s.
Because of slavery is what you're saying. It's about slavery.
I'm assuming.
Okay.
Yes.
Tracy, let me ask you a question here about your son. So this happens. How did your son contacts you? What was your reaction when you found out what happened to your child?
I was infuriated. I was infuriated that someone my son knows could fire him. In a way, it felt like he was bullied into taking that down, knowing, hey, I'm over you, and you might lose your scholarship if you don't take that hat off.
So let me jump in here. So your son's on a scholarship. He's wearing the hat. Mm-hmm. Did they imply to him? Did they tell him, if you don't take this hat off, you're going to lose your scholarship?
Oh, no. It was never said directly at all.
Okay. All right.
That was not said, but it was definitely, I wouldn't say that it was even implied. He just needed to be aware that wearing that hat was offensive and that he shouldn't do it.
Has he worn the hat since then?
I don't know. I don't believe so. He did. At some point, he had a flag in his window and was told there's a policy, and maybe there was, that no flags can fly in any window.
What kind of a flag was it? What kind of a flag was it, Tracy?
I think it was a Trump flag. And now he has the Trump 2020 flag up in his room. It's not in his window, but when you walk by, it's on the back wall and you can see it.
I see.
But it is just, if you question anything, the staff says, I don't really even know anything about critical race theory. Go talk to someone else.
Okay, but again, I understand you want to, but we're focusing right here on this Make America Great Again issue.
Okay.
Did you, and one final question here, have you guys had any kind of contact with the seminary, the college, to express your concerns here?
We have not yet. My husband has talked to our local Baptist associational leader. He's very upset. There were many, many pastors who threatened in our area to leave the Southern Baptist Convention over what they're hearing is going on our campuses of our future pastors and my son, a missionary. And so they are forming a group to talk about holding even our state, North Carolina's feet to the fire on this issue, because this seminary is in our state.
And you guys should. And Tracy, I think this is imperative that you guys contact the seminary and the college, contact the alumni office. And, you know, if push comes to shove and they don't back down from this, and you're right, it does sound like they were bullying your son because he was wearing a Make America Great Again hat. It is unacceptable on a public school campus, but it is absolutely unacceptable on a Southern Baptist Seminary campus. Unacceptable.
Amen.
All right, Tracy, I want you to keep us posted on this, and you're going to want to listen to our show on Friday. We're going to have an entire hour dedicated to what's going on in the Southern Baptist Convention. You're going to want to listen.
All of
you folks are going to want to listen. Tracy, we're going to have to let you go, but thank you for shining some light on this. I'm stunned, but maybe I shouldn't be stunned, that apparently there are leftists that have infiltrated some of our Southern Baptist campuses. That's incredibly troubling, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm telling you, we're going to stand alongside any student in America who defends this president and who comes under fire. We're going to stand with them on this show. I mean, we weren't planning to keep, again, this call came out of nowhere. But you know what? When something like this happens, we need to take it seriously. And all of you Southern Baptists listening to us right now, you ought to be outraged. And you ought to be calling Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in North Carolina and find out what the heck they're teaching these kids and why the kids are not allowed to wear Trump hats. 844-747-8868. Toll-free number here, folks. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. I want to get to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Frank Corder joins us from YallPolitics.com. What a great name for a website. YallPolitics.com. Frank, I guess you guys have a problem if you got a northerner on there, because they would go to like Use Guys Politics. And it doesn't
translate well. We're from Mississippi, so you know we're the hospitality state. So look, everyone's welcome.
I love it. Now, Frank, you've got a great story up where it's a deep dive into the Trump administration's play for black voters. And you say this is going to have major implications in the Magnolia State. What's going on? Talk to us.
Well, you know, over the past 3.5 years under President Trump and also under Republican leadership here in Mississippi, we've seen great strides made to advance the black community. Through opportunity zones, through the advancement of school choice, through the First Step Act and criminal justice reforms, all things that were once largely Democratic-type platforms that Republicans and mainly Trump has now embraced.
Well, you had Van Jones, who was over one of the guys over at CNN. And he really is concerned by this. I think it was during the Iowa caucus coverage, very alarmed that blacks are taking, that the Democrats are taking the black vote for granted. And the president's coming in and he's really gaining some ground here.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I think we kind of need to mention is that, you know, one time Democrats thought a lot about how to, you know, move the working class forward in this country. Their main talking point was affordable housing, was reconnecting families, mainly in minority neighborhoods, providing better schools. And what the president's done through his 3 years of office now, he's really moved that needle forward. And now the Democrats have basically ceded the working class to the GOP en masse. And are on the brink of losing what's been their most stable voting bloc for decades, that being black Americans.
I am curious, though, you know, we just launched our radio show in Memphis on KWAM. That is there's a large black population there and, of course, in North Mississippi. And you are starting to see Republicans fighting for those votes there. We had a candidate on Charlotte Bergman on yesterday's show. Are you starting to see, you know, your reporting, are you starting to see any kind of inroads being made there in those communities?
Yes, we've actually, I'll give you one example. The mayor of Vicksburg, Mississippi, George Flax, he's been a very outspoken proponent of the president, especially through opportunity zones. He's a former Democratic legislator for many years. In a city that's about 68% African American black, he has now moved to be an independent, and many say that he could be joining the GOP at some point because he sees that these policies that the president and others are putting in place are actually working both for his community and for our state.
I just think that's such a huge, huge thing. And you mentioned that in your terrific piece over at YallPolitics.com. And by the way, Frank, I didn't realize this. I just received a text message here. You're in Pascagoula, Mississippi, which is home to WPMO, which carries our daily talk show. And we love the great folks there at that radio station.
That's correct. I actually used to do a radio show on that station. So, yeah.
Frank, when, you know, we're looking again at the president's policies here and, you know, as Republicans are trying to reach minority voters, you talk a lot about some of the talking points that the Democrats used to have, which was about revitalizing these low income neighborhoods. It just never got done. Even during the Obama administration, it never got done.
It did not. You know, and that's the one thing I think you've seen is, you know, there's this national push against opportunity zones from the Democrat standpoint because they think of the negative connotation of gentrification, and that kind of plays into the idea that when you change the character of a neighborhood, perhaps through renovation or improvements, that perhaps those minorities, those black Americans, they move out, in place for white Americans. But in Mississippi here, you know, we're 40% population of black, and about half of our school kids are African American. So there's no real fear here of investing in these neighborhoods and kind of having black flight, if you will. This actually will come down to their level, provide working class jobs and housing, affordable housing options in these neighborhoods that have long been misused by the Democratic Party.
Well, it's a terrific story you wrote there, and Frank, we're going to get you back on the show. You guys have some great insight into politics there in the Deep South, and especially in Mississippi. Great job, and tell all the folks down in Pascagoula we said hello.
Thank you, Todd, for having me on.
All right, Frank Corder, ladies and gentlemen, from YallPolitics.com. That's Y-A-L-L, politics.com. That has to be the best name for a political website that I've come across. But they've got some really insightful information. And this is exciting because, again, you know, we talked about South Carolina, why Mayor Pete Buttigieg having such a difficult time reaching black voters in that state. Well, one of the reasons why is black voters are traditionally conservative on social issues. And this whole issue of gay marriage and the LGBT agenda, shoving that down people's throats, that is not playing well in places like South Carolina, where you have a large minority population that has a conservative viewpoint on certain big cultural issues of the day. And that tells me that someone like Donald J. Trump can come in and say, hey, wait a second. You guys have been voting Democrat for generations. And what has that gotten you? Are you really that better off? All these Democrats have come into your neighborhoods. They've stood in your pulpits and they've promised you things. And they never did deliver on those promises. They lied to you. So why not get off the Democrat plantation and give the Republicans a chance? Just one election cycle. What could it possibly harm? How could you possibly be hurt? Just give them a chance. You know, that's, you know, as a conservative, as a person of faith, Donald Trump wasn't my first pick. He was my last pick. But you know what? I gave him a chance. He asked for a chance. I gave him a chance, and he delivered on everything, folks, everything. And now you've got these Democrats out there like Bernie Sanders, an avowed socialist who doesn't mind being called a communist. Well, Comrade Sanders, he's taken over the party. There is going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight. And I'm telling you, folks, it's going to be mighty, mighty entertaining. 844-747-8868. Toll-free number, folks. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hey, yesterday, someone from WDUN, which is our terrific affiliate there in Gainesville, Georgia, one of the most beautiful towns in America. I just love that area of the country. And, of course, that is where our radio show emanates from. And we're very thankful for the good people there at WDUN. One of our listeners there sent us some video, which we have posted on ToddStarnes.com. I just think this is a terrific thing. So every year they invite a bunch of preachers to go to the state capitol in Atlanta, and a bunch of them got together in the rotunda, and they decided they were going to sing a gospel song. And it's one of these songs that I remember singing when I was a kid growing up in our Baptist church. So this is what it sounded like right before the pastors took a photograph with Governor Brian Kemp there in Georgia. Cut number 7, please. That's pretty awesome right there. They're having church right there in the state capitol. There must have been like 75 pastors, and you've got to watch the video. It's pretty epic at toddstarns.com. But did you hear there were like two or three ladies in the bunch, and one of them was like, she was a powerhouse alto. She was going toe-to-toe with all those guys. So, well done. Well done. And that was incredibly inspirational. All right. You know what? I want to go back to the phones here. A lot of good calls today, by the way. Let's go back to North Carolina. James is listening to us on the Talk Station, 107.1 FM. And, James, I understand you want to say something about Tracy, the lady whose son got in trouble for wearing the MAGA hat.
Yes, sir. I'm retired military. I believe in everyone has the right to vote and vote however they choose. I was wearing a MAGA hat, and a Caucasian white man asked me basically the same question because I was around some other blacks and said, "Hey, how can you do that? How can you be that racist and infant these black people?" I looked him dead in the eye, and I said, "How can you be a racist, sir? How do you know these black people did not vote for Donald Trump? How are you speaking for them? I don't understand. Do you think they're dumb and they can't make their own choice?" Needless to say, that was the end of the conversation. And he didn't have nothing to say, and black people didn't have nothing to say, and I just dressed in my hat and stepped on, and that was it.
James, good for you. You stood your ground, and you did so as a patriot, and you were nice and polite about it, but sometimes you just got to tell it like it is.
Yeah, I'm just like, how can that's what America's become to now. We're the country of the offended, and nobody can speak their own mind, because if my opinion is different than yours, then I'm automatically a racist or a Nazi or a deplorable, or pick one. That's me. And I don't get it. I don't get it. I really don't.
And you know, James, one of the reasons why is that for so long, people have just capitulated. And you know, because, again, I get it. Folks don't want to have to stand up and get into an argument. But if more people did what you did, I don't think the country would be in the shape we're in right now, to be honest with you.
I agree. I don't take bull crap from nobody. I served this country for 22 years to give not only you, me, everyone else the right of free speech. And by gosh, as I stand here today, I'm going to have it, whether you like it or not.
James, you're a great American patriot. Where did you serve? What branch of the military?
I was a Navy corpsman that served 22 years. However, 16 of those years were proudly served with the United States Marine Corps. So I don't know a thing about a ship, but I know a lot about the Marine Corps.
I love it.
I was a corpsman, and that's, you know.
James, I want to do something for you. We're gonna put you on hold, and I want to send you one of my books. I'll autograph it for you, just as a very small way of saying thank you for being a listener to this radio program. But more importantly, thank you for serving our great nation. Is that okay? Can we do that for you?
Absolutely, and sir, I was proud to do it.
All right. James from North Carolina. A lot of patriots in that part of the country. I'm telling you, folks, a lot of patriots. And James got a good point. There are a lot of black supporters and Hispanic supporters of this president. And the racism, James had a brilliant observation here. The racism is on those people who are insinuating. They're just thinking, they're assuming that just because a person is black or Hispanic, that they're going to be offended by a Trump bumper sticker or a Trump ball cap. So good for you, James. We need more thinking like that, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we need. 844-747-8868. It is a toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. We're going to take a quick break. Coming up, a bizarre story of the police chief in Tallahassee, Florida, coming under fire by a bunch of out-of-town atheists, a cobble of atheists, very upset because the police chief had people lay hands on him during his inauguration and pray. They're praying for the police chief, and now all of a sudden the atheists are outraged. We're going to talk to our good friends over at First Liberty Institute. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Sean Spicer, Spicy, he's a little fella, short fella, kind of like a Bloomberg kind of a guy. Sean Spicer, from former White House press secretary, but he was Dancing with the Stars. He was one of the guys there. I don't watch that show. Anyway, you fellas that are looking for that special kind of Valentine's Day gift for your significant other, the missus, or the woman you hope to be a missus. So Spicer says that he is, as a creative Valentine's Day gift, he wants to record a Valentine's Day message for you. And it'll only set you back for $199. So he says, what way to say I love you, I'm thinking of you, like a Valentine video from me? So, all right. You know what? Call Screener Avery. You know what we're going to do? I mean, if Spicy can do it for $199, you know, I'll do it for $50. How's that?
Fine. Yeah, I'll take $50.
Well, I'm not going to send you a Valentine's video, but
I thought that's how that works.
Why not?
Okay.
I mean, I guess I could, but that would be a little weird.
But yeah, probably.
But all of you ladies out there, if you'd like 50, is $50, that's a good going rate, right?
Yeah.
Before we commit to it, we ought to check with the our unofficial legal counsel for the Todd Starnes radio program, Jeremy Dice, on the Newsmaker line. First Liberty Institute. Hi, Jeremy. How's it going today?
It's going all right. This has been a very interesting conversation to walk into the middle of, though.
Yeah, you know, it's every now and again we sort of get off the straight and narrow and get off into the weeds, so.
Well, happy Valentine's Day, no matter where you're at. And that one's for free.
Well, Jerry, aren't you a kind guy? So there you go. Take that, Sean Spicer. Yeah, I'm not sure that many folks are going to shell out $200 for a spicy Valentine's Day message, but that's just me. Hey, Jeremy, you sent me one of the craziest stories last night. I was checking the email, and there's a brand new police chief in Tallahassee, Florida. And as near as we can tell, he's a good church going guy. He had people praying at his inauguration ceremony or his installation ceremony. And this has caused a big controversy. So first of all, tell us why people are upset and who is upset.
Well, it seems like there's this one group that gets upset anytime someone utters their mouth in prayer or to say a religious word in public. And that group comes out of Wisconsin, and they're always telling people basically not to do it. And here's what happened. I guess the sheriff at his installation or inauguration, whatever they call it when you get a new sheriff in town, he invited some of the local clergy to come up and pray for him and lay hands on him, in fact, and do things that are pretty routine within Christian circles, as a matter of fact. Just to say, look, this is a bigger job than myself. I'm going to need the community, and I'm going to need to rely even on my faith in these hard times, like most police officers do, because it's such a tough job. And for that mere act, now all of a sudden there's this kind of dark cloud hanging over that inauguration ceremony, because he dared to have people pray for him, which is just, I mean, absolutely ridiculous. We've had prayer in public for well, as long as we've been a country and longer, and certainly, there's no citizen ought to fear either praying for an elected official privately or in public, or elected officials asking for prayer. That is something that is very consistent with our nation's history. Heck, every president since George Washington has asked for prayer. And I can't imagine why it would be inappropriate for a sheriff to ask for prayer, too.
So the Freedom From Religion Foundation, they are a Wisconsin-based group of atheists and agnostics and freethinkers. And if this is the same group, I think they're the ones that do the ads during the Democrat debates featuring Ron Reagan, where he's talking about how he's looking forward to burning in hell. These are the people we're talking about here. And Jeremy, their MO typically is an anonymous citizen contacted them, and that's how they got involved.
Yeah, no, I guess so. But here's the reality. If you're in the neck of the woods and the pastor, I'm sorry, the sheriff calls you up to pray for him and to pray for his leadership, do it. And that's perfectly in line with the Constitution. If I remember correctly, the First Amendment still says that Congress shall make no law concerning the free exercise of religion. That certainly falls within that category of free exercise. And if you got any problems with that, and just give us a call. Look, I actually called the sheriff yesterday just to say good job, and if there's anything you need, just give me a call. But they seem to be weathering whatever controversy very well, and I don't expect that there's anything going to come of this because, well, there's no legal leg to stand on here. It's perfectly fine for elected officials to ask for prayer, and when people offer it, to receive it.
And that's important because a lot of people don't understand, you know, what does the law say here? And that's where First Liberty Institute is so helpful because you guys cover these kinds of cases all the time. And Jeremy, I am curious about how things are going out there in the fight for religious liberty under the Trump administration.
You know, things are getting so much better under the Trump administration. There are multiple new rules that the Trump administration is about to put into effect that really treat religious organizations fairly in line with all the other secular organizations as well. You can't discriminate anymore because you happen to hold to a religious belief that is not shared by the government, nor are they compelling you to change your religious beliefs. That's a huge change. We've got big changes in the front of education where the administration has finally, after many, many years now, updated its guidance on prayer and religion in public schools. Very helpful guidance we're going to be able to use across the country. And then, well, let's not forget the impact of judges, almost 200 of them now, I guess, appointed by the president to the bench, by and large, men and women who understand that the Constitution is framed with words and words have meaning, and meaning doesn't really change that terrible much over the course of our history, and our laws ought to be interpreted underneath that document. So, look, I think we've got some bright days for religious liberty in the near future.
Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, Jeremy, hey, look, we appreciate you coming on the show as always. Great stuff there and good news for the new police chief there in Tallahassee, Florida. Thank you, sir.
Thank you and happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you too. Jeremy Dice, ladies and gentlemen, one of the good guys out there, First Liberty Institute. They're doing a terrific. No, we're just kidding. He's not the official legal counsel. It was just a joke. First Liberty, they have argued cases before the Supreme Court. These guys are the real deal. So if you are ever in trouble on a religious liberty issue, if somebody tells you that you can't pray or you can't bring your Bible to class, these are the guys that you want to call. And if you have any questions, just feel free to drop us a line, and we're happy to put you in touch with them. We've done that before quite a bit in the past. But I don't know about these atheists over in Tallahassee. It seems to me if you're driving around town and you've got one of those coexist bumper stickers, you might want to make sure you're doing the speed limit. That's that's all I'm going to say. Jeez, Alou. All right. Interesting story here. I want to get your take on this. Should girls play with boys on athletic teams? And I'm not talking, this is not a transgender issue story. This is, let's say you've got a wrestling team, and it's an all-male wrestling team, and you've got a girl who wants to be a wrestler. Should she be allowed to play on the boys' wrestling team? That is a huge, huge issue that is being debated right now in Lehigh Valley up in Pennsylvania. And there's a big story in the Morning Call newspaper about a Catholic high school, Notre Dame High School, and they forfeited a wrestling match because one of their wrestlers was going to have to wrestle a girl. In the same age bracket, same weight bracket, the whole nine yards. And the Catholic said, no, we're not going to do that. We have a longstanding policy. We will not let our boys wrestle girls. And this has become a big source of controversy in the region. And a lot of people who follow sports in Pennsylvania say that the Catholics are being very unreasonable. And they say that this is about equality. This is about accepting girls for who they are, no matter what. So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, how you feel about that. Should we allow girls onto boys' athletic teams? I mean, I remember back in my early days when I first started out, I was a sports reporter, and I remember going to cover the golf matches, and you had ladies' tees and you had the men's tees. And the men would tee off from the men's tees and the girls would from the ladies' tees. That's kind of how it was. But they're trying to convince us now in society that there are no physical differences between boys and girls, and therefore girls should be allowed to play with boys on football teams and now wrestling squads. And my only issue here is this. I guess I can see if you're a girl and you want to be a kicker, but where are the female linebackers? Are there any? There may be. I don't know of any. But I then again, I'm wondering if you're going to let a girl on a wrestling team, a boys wrestling team, would you at some point allow boys to play on girls volleyball teams or softball teams? I mean, you can't have it just one way. But the Catholics there in Pennsylvania are really coming under attack for what seems to me to be a pretty noble thing. I mean, do you really want a boy throwing a girl around? And the optics of that, I just don't know. Maybe I'm old school. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Should girls play on boys' athletic teams? This is the Todd Stern Show.